Now follow along in your copies of God's Word as I begin reading in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greed to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as it, the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This ends the reading of God's Word. And may He bless that we may be more than merely hearers, and we'll understand how we are to live the new life based upon His Word. Well, if you know me, then you know that I enjoy giving new life to old objects that are old and worn out. And I don't mean any of you. I mean objects. I mean, especially objects that are made of wood. I really enjoy finding an old piece, an old object, and trying to somehow strip it down and mend it and repair it and give it new life. I have some objects that I have very happy with. Others I've recognized I have failed miserably and I had to throw them away or put them on the curb. There are still some other objects that are still in my garage waiting. They're not waiting, but I've been postponing getting them done. Maybe some of them I recognize they're more complex than I thought, and I'm not ready for that yet. My idea was bigger and more complicated than my ability. For example, I have there's an old rocking chair, a little one in there that I primed it and ready to paint it, and I realized I am terrible at upholstery. And I've got to do a lot more research and understanding of how to upholster part of that chair. I wanted it to be in our grandchildren's playroom where they can sit in it and read, and I recognize this is beyond me at this point. I hope someday to be able to finish it. But there's all kinds of things like that in our lives that we recognize that are beyond our ability, and other things we see that are old and worn out and ruined and we can bring back to life. One of my favorite possessions that I've done that is an old desk. It was my grandfather's desk. It was beautiful, a simple desk. It's not a very ornate desk, but a simple but solid oak. And it was worth remodeling a little bit to make it compatible with a computer and keyboard and stripping it down. It took weeks of sanding and stripping to be able to prepare it to take a new stain. And it's one of my favorite possessions now that I've been able to rebuild. And I hope maybe you can see the connection now with what Paul's talking about, of stripping off the old man, putting it away, getting rid of that which is dirty and worn and stained and worthless, and put on the new man. This is what Paul is teaching us here, that we are made brand new by Christ. And we are to put Him on, so to speak, every day to live the new life. Put off the old. Strip it away from your life. Get rid of it, that you may live the new life that He has granted you in Christ. He calls us to live in a way that reflects that we are new creatures in Him. So this morning, I want to encourage us to live like brand new people, people that have been restored and made whole. To do that, we want to look at four characteristics of the new man. The first is that a brand new man thinks right. A brand new man thinks right. The mind is changed. Now, parents know that sometimes the best way to point out the right way to your children is to give examples of the wrong way and its consequences. My dad used to do that for us when we were children by telling us stories about this mischievous little boy named Pete Brown. The trouble that Pete Brown got into in his neighborhood and got the other boys around him into trouble as well. My dad would come up with all these tremendous, fanciful stories of Pete Brown, and we did not want to be like Pete Brown. He was giving us examples of bad behavior to influence us toward good behavior. And sometimes as parents, that's an effective tool. It's what we call giving non-examples to live how we should be, what we should be exemplifying. And I think that's similar to what Paul is doing here. He's showing us how we should live by reminding us of how we lived as lost people, or how the lost still continue to live. He's showing us the depravity of the human heart so that we may live the new life. And the first thing he shows us about the way we used to be is the futility of our mind. That the new man, a brand new man, thinks right. Look again what he says. He says that they walk in the futility of their mind. Now, futility simply means emptiness. It's apart from Christ, all our thinking is empty and futile. If Paul were writing today, he probably would say something like that we are empty-headed. In fact, one of the modern translations, or not translation, a paraphrase, you understand the difference between a translation and a paraphrase? A translation tries to stick close to the original languages. A paraphrase doesn't care necessarily about the original languages. Just put it in modern words that it's easy to read and easy to understand. But it may not be anything literally close to the original language, but it's easy to read. Well, one of the popular modern paraphrases says that they are empty-headed, mindless crowd. I think that's what Paul is getting at when he says they're according to a futile mind. Empty-headed and mindless, without Christ. Man is ignorant and empty-headed because he's in the dark. And that's what he says in verse 18. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Now, we'll come to the end of that in a moment. But in other words, Paul is saying that man is ignorant and empty-headed because he's in the dark and he's blind to the truth of God's Word. That's why, for example, sometimes when you're talking to a friend that doesn't trust in Christ yet and you're in a debate about creation or about this topic or that topic and it's frustrating to you because you read the Bible and it seems so clear. Why can't they grasp it? Well, they haven't been made alive yet. Their mind hasn't been opened yet. They're still living in the darkness of their mind and the futility of their thinking. The Holy Spirit hasn't made them awakened yet. And so the brand new man has learned to think right. And so in Proverbs chapter 1, we read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Wisdom only comes from a right relationship with God. Until you're made right with God, you don't have God's wisdom. You don't have God's knowledge. You can have the best education in the world. You can have more degrees than a thermometer. But if you don't have Christ, if you don't know Christ, then you're just a vapor that will come to nothing. You can see this so plainly in the world. I mean, we have more educational opportunities today than ever in the history of the world. You can access more information surfing the internet than we ever could in the past. The opportunity to gain knowledge today even far surpasses when I was a child. It's amazing the freedom we have to knowledge, to instruction. And yet, if you don't have Christ, and it's not understood and read through the filter of God's Word, it will come to nothing. In many ways, our world is farther away from God than it's ever been. For example, you're considered to be a fool if you don't believe that millions of planets just happened by chance. And it just so happens that by chance, we developed on the one planet that is perfectly suited for life. How lucky are you? But you're a fool if you don't believe that nobody plus nothing equals everything. You're a fool if you don't believe that the Bible is just a collection of stories that teaches a good morality like Aesop's fables. A darkened understanding. An empty-headed way of life. Futility. But the brand new man bases his wisdom on the foundation of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, I say all that not to be condescending toward anyone. Not to try to make a Christian think that we are so much better than everybody else. You've done nothing to have your mind awakened. It is the grace of God that has changed you. You can't boast that you're smarter than somebody else. You might not be. You can't boast at this enlightenment that you have about God and His world. It is merely by His grace that you've come to light, that you've come to understand how God has made this world. But a brand new man is able to think in terms of the way God has worked in this world. Now, secondly, a brand new man also feels right. And that's where we come back to the end of verse 19. He said, remember, the old man is alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. And he says, due to the hardness of heart. God created us with feelings. He gives us a conscience. We're born with a sense of right and wrong, but it doesn't take long before that sense of right and wrong can quickly become distorted, and we choose the wrong over the right. Now, I want to be careful and state that no one is born innocent. We're all born with a sinful nature that is prone towards sin. But we've seen it in our children. We see it now in our grandson. There is a tenderness of conscience. But that tenderness is going to start giving way to hardness of heart. The more they sin, the more the hardness of heart comes in. And the more they want to say no, the more they want to rebel, the more they want to go their own way, because that nature in them, it's part of who they are. You don't have to train your children to be bad. You have to train them to be good. It's part of their nature. God has created us with a sense of right and wrong, but we quickly distort and become insensitive to the right. When a person willingly commits sin, such as what we had earlier in the service with our call to confession through David's acknowledgement of his sin, when King David, this was in a period of David's life when he had risen to tremendous power, had a beautiful palace that he had built for himself. He was at the pinnacle of his reign as a king over Israel. David saw the beautiful Bathsheba bathing on her rooftop, and he wanted her for himself. He sent for her, committed adultery with her, and then, after a season of time, it was discovered that not only did he sin in committing adultery, but she was with child. So what did he do? Well, the scriptures tell us that he then sent for Bathsheba's husband, who was on the battlefield. Sent for him, hoping that he would go back to his home and that David's sin would be hidden. But his Uriah, her husband, was too faithful to the king. He felt guilty that he was at home while all his brothers were at war. He slept outside on the steps and would not go in to his home with his wife out of a sense of duty and responsibility and loyalty to his countrymen. David's plot failed. So as Quentin reminded us, he told the general, put him on the front line, and when the battle heats up, pull away. What we learn from that is not only did Uriah die, but so did others who were fighting alongside him on that front line. Others face the consequences of David's sin as well. And so this bold prophet Nathan goes to the king and confronts him with his sin. And just as Quentin beautifully told us already, immediately David's heart was broken. the softness of his heart and his desire to repent is only a work of God's grace. He was a new man that was broken by the Spirit of God. His heart, his feelings were shaped by the Spirit, and he yielded in that moment and sought the forgiveness of God. And that's the first option. Whenever we commit sin, that's the first option. Acknowledge your sin and repent. Second option is to justify it. You hear things such as, you know, it's not that big a deal, I didn't really hurt anybody, or it's not that bad, it's just one thing, I've been working for this company for all these years, they won't miss it. We justify our sin all the time. It's not that big a deal, I just wanted to have a better grade, I needed to improve my grade. We justify sin in our lives all the time. Rather than acknowledging it and going to God, we justify it and hide it. And pretty soon our conscience is hardened. As we grow, we learn to justify our sin so easily. Paul explains here that the lost man is darkened in his understanding, alienated from the life of God, and he has a hardness of heart. They've become callous. They give themselves up to sensuality and every kind of impurity. It's a hard heart. But the new man acknowledges his sin. It grieves us when we are confronted by our sin. It doesn't mean that we never sin. Make no mistake about it. A new man still sins. You still battle sin and have to deal with it every day. But I hope that you're developing more and more of a hatred towards sin, where you despise it when you see it in your life and you want to run from it. I quote this many times in our worship services, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He, meaning God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful and just, meaning He has promised that He will forgive sin. But He's also just, meaning that He doesn't ignore sin. Sin is punished, but it's punished through Christ. You don't have to bear the full weight of your own sin, but Christ has done it for you. God is faithful and He is just. He will forgive you and He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The brand new man confesses a sin instead of covering it up because the Holy Spirit convicts him. Again, it's nothing that you can boast about. Look at what you've done. No, it's the Holy Spirit in you that has prompted you, that has convicted you of your sin and led you to repentance. He's the one that enables you to repent, because you feel the heaviness of sin. So the new man thinks right and he feels right, meaning he senses the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, the new man acts right. Look again at verse 20 and following. He says, but that's not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off the old self which belongs to your former manner of life, your former way of living, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. We have a new way of living, new actions. The new man acts right. Now, we don't believe that you are saved or sanctified or kept because of our works. Our actions don't save us. Our actions ultimately don't even sanctify us or are the reason why we're kept by God. They're all useful in our growth in Christ, but it's God Himself that saves us. God Himself makes us holy. God Himself keeps us. We're not legalists. We don't believe that good works accomplish any of this. James tells us in James chapter 2, he says, someone will say, you have faith and I have works. And James says, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. That's the right understanding of works. We're not saved because of our works, but because we are saved, we now have good works. Now we can do what is right. Now we can act in a way that pleases God, whereas before, we could not. The new man now, through the grace of Christ, the grace of God and the sacrifice of Christ, now the new man can live the new life. Now we can put on the righteousness of Christ. So if you say that you're a Christian and you don't live like it, maybe you're not a Christian as you think. If you're constantly living like the old man, maybe you're not a new man. So when Paul draws this contrast between the Gentiles and the Gentile way of living, he's not talking about the difference between a Jew and a Gentile. He's talking about the difference between a new man and the old man, and the way that you used to be. But now you have put off the old way of life. You know, in the old way, we were more concerned about ourselves than anybody. We would do good things so that we would look better in the presence of others, in other people's eyes. We wanted attention. We wanted to have a better standing because people could see what we did, the good that we did. That's the old way of living. Building up ourselves in the eyes of others. Paul says, put that stuff off. Get rid of that selfish way of life. The brand new man puts off the way he used to act and puts on Christ. Obviously, it's a picture of taking off an old garment and putting on a new one, being clothed in Christ's righteousness, not trusting in your own, but trusting in His righteousness. Quit acting like the old man, because a brand new man trusts in the work of Christ. And his good works now reflect the work of Christ in him. So a brand new man thinks right, feels right, acts right, only because, fourthly, the brand new man is right. He has been made right. When Christ saves us, He makes us into a new man. Your thinking and your feeling and your acting don't make you right. They are the result of you being made right. He makes you right. He forgives our sins and removes them as far as the east is from the west. We're a new creation when we are plugged into Christ. Sometimes, however, I know you know this is true in your own life as well. Sometimes we like to hold on to some of those parts of the old man instead of putting them off. We cling to them as if we're carrying around a stinking, rotten old man with us. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 beautifully describes this struggle within his own heart when he says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And that statement comes after Paul talks about that struggle of the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the very things I know I shouldn't do, those are the ones I keep on doing. Wretched man that I am, who can save me from this body of death, this old man? Now, when Paul says that, he is a believer in Jesus Christ. He's not referring to his old days. He's referring to that day then when he still struggles with the old flesh. Who can rescue me? Well, he says, thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ rescues us from the old man that we still want to drag around with us. Christ rescues us from that body of death by his grace, through his strength. We can get rid of the old man. Only by His grace, only by His strength, can we grow in the newness of life, can we grow in the likeness of Christ. We're to take off that old coat, put on a new one, one that's not made of our own righteousness, not made of our own good works, but we put on the righteousness of Christ. We clothe ourselves in Him. That's the new man. The brand new man can say with Paul then, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. I think every Christian Bible should have that verse underlined and highlighted and bookmarked. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. The whole gospel is in that simple verse. Who deserves condemnation? The old man. The old way of living. Those that have not accepted Christ. Those are continuing to live according to their own ways. They are condemned. And they will be condemned for an eternity. But there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Not for those who are living a good life, those that have more good than bad in their life. No, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ. If you are in Christ, you have been made alive. You've been made so that you can think right again. You've been made so that you can feel right, so you can sense the Holy Spirit's conviction. You've been made right so that you can act right. It is a work of God's grace that He has made you His child. He has made you a brand new person. He has given you a new life. So do you think like a brand new person? Now, maybe not every moment of every day, but are you getting stronger? Are you learning more and more how to understand the Scriptures? Are they making more sense to you? Do you read the Scriptures? Are you learning what God says about Himself? Have you been made new so that you can understand His Word and grow in your understanding of His Word and increasing in wisdom? Do you feel like a brand new person? I don't mean, again, a touchy-feely, but I mean, are you sensitive to the Spirit's conviction of sin? Do you feel differently than you did 10 years ago? Are you more sensitive to His work in your life today than you were before? Do you act like a brand new person? Have you put off the old lifestyle more and more every day? And have you put on Christ's righteousness? Are you? This is the most important question for anyone ever in their lifetime. Are you a brand new person? Have you been made alive by God? If not, why not today? Why not today? If you recognize in your life that you're not new, you're still living the old way. Nothing's changed in your life. There's a question that we put in our bulletin every week. It has a little box around it. You can find it in your bulletin. So I move it around different places so you'll see it. If you were to die today in an accident, and accidents happen every day, if you were to die today in an accident, are you at the point in your life where you know for certain that you'd go to heaven? Now, there's only two answers to that. Maybe a third if you want to say maybe. You're not sure. But it's yes or no. But it may be even a more important question is if you did die in an accident and you were to stand before God and God asked you, why should I let you into my heaven? Now, I think He already knows that answer. I don't think He's going to leave it up to you whether or not you should be able to come into heaven because you give a good answer. But if He were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? Are you hoping that you're good is better than your bad? There's more good than there was bad? Therefore, He'll let you in? Wrong answer. Wrong answer. You will never have more good than you have bad. None of us will. Are you just hoping that God's a forgiving God and he'll just ignore your life and he'll let everybody in? Bad answer. That would contradict Jesus himself and all his teaching, that there will be many on that day that will be condemned to an eternity. He doesn't just ignore sin. The only answer that God will accept on that day is that the blood of Christ was shed for you. You trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know that Jesus died on the cross for your sin, that God's justice that you deserve was poured out on his Son in your place. You have been made into a new man. You're not sinless, but you're repentant. You recognize your sin and you want to turn away from it. If you're a brand new person, like probably, if not all of you, most of you, are there still portions of your life that you're clinging to that you haven't let go of yet? Are there still remnants of the old man in you that you just want to hold on to a little bit more? You're not ready? Why not? Why do we hold on to that which angers God, that which grieves him? Let it go. Put off the old man. Repent of your sin and put on Christ. Turn away from that which angers him, from that which grieves him, and turn to him. Turn to his glory, to his righteousness. Live in a manner that is worthy of the calling that we have in Christ. Let us pray, and as we do, I invite the elders to come forward to serve the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, if there be any here today that recognize that they need to be made brand new, Lord, I pray that even in the quietness of their own heart right now, that they would acknowledge their need to you, that they would admit that they have been sinful and need your forgiveness. Lord, don't allow them to be worried about what other people will think. Lord, may we only be concerned with what you think. And Lord, if there be believers here today that have been clinging to the old way of life, and even this past week they have been convicted of the ways in which they're living that have not been honorable to you, Lord, I pray that we would repent, that by your Spirit's help, we would put off the old man, every day putting it to death, and every day seeking to be clothed in Christ. Lord, it can only be accomplished if you so graciously enable us. Grant us to live like brand new people through your grace and by your mercy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.